Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Hello once again for the Growing in Grace podcast. I'm Mike Kapler along with Joel Brzezicki. Thank you to those of you who have taken time to write to us and let us know you're being encouraged in the good news of Jesus. That means a lot to us. It's why we do what we do. Obviously, we're not asking for donations. We're not sponsored. We're just a couple of guys who want to share some things that we've learned over the years that may go against almost everything that some people have been taught in some very popular church circles. Different denominational brands and just the things that we've been told. That as we were talking about a couple of weeks back, just the wide interpretations. We talk about the Bible being our final authority, Joel, but the wide interpretations, I would prefer to think that Jesus is our final authority.
Yeah, no, for sure. Look to Jesus, the author mm-hmm. and perfecter of faith. Looking unto him. I think that the scriptures are a wonderful thing for us to have, but they are not the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus didn't say that when he rose that he would send a Bible, that he would send more writings. I'm glad, again, that we have the writings, but what he said that he would send, you know, the Holy Spirit would come and be our helper. So the Holy Spirit is the one who teaches, who's our teacher. And we can definitely use the writings in the Bible. We never let it be said that we're against the Bible. So that's not what we're saying at all. But ultimately, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Cap, just real quick, you said something about how we're not sponsored here. We don't receive payments from anybody for anything like that. And what we do here is we just have conversations. And we record the conversations and put them up on the internet, and you take it from there. You know, the listener, you take it from there. And so people have asked us, how can they support us? And, you know, where's the donation link on your website? You know, things like that. And we don't have that. Basically, the way that you can support us is really not by supporting us, but it's really by spreading the word about the podcast. Again, it's up on the internet. There's various ways that you can share it, whether it's on Facebook or X or YouTube or wherever, there's different ways that you can share that. So that's really the way to support us, so to speak, isn't really supporting us. It's just getting this word out that's already out there. It's letting people know about it. So we appreciate it when people do that.
Last week, we were talking about repentance and what it means, what it doesn't mean, and how we can apply it to our lives. The common misconception that we talked about last week is that to repent means to stop sinning, in short, and start doing good things, I would suppose. And we talked about that last week. If you didn't catch it, go back and catch that so we don't have to repeat too much. But one verse that was brought out, Matthew chapter 3. You know, Joel, this is just one example, though, of sometimes how assumptions can even play a part in how these writings get interpreted from one translation to the next. So, for example, in Matthew 3:2, which I think we referenced last week, repent. This is what most translations in the English language will say, and a handful of the most popular ones would be like New American Standard, King James, New King James, NIV, ESV, RSV, and others. They say something similar to this. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 3:2. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But there's a more modern translation that sometimes I like. I don't read it very often, but there's an obvious misinterpretation here when you're going back to the Greek language. And it says this. It says, turn from your sins and turn to God, because the kingdom of heaven is near. Turn from your sins, turn to God. Totally different from what the other ones were saying. But again, if your assumption is that repentance or to repent means to stop sinning, then you're going to interpret a lot of different things based on that and wrongly interpret things based on that. So let's talk some more about this, Joel, because I thought maybe we had wrapped it up last week. We were just going to do a quick one on repentance because people talk a lot about it. But if that is true, if the mindset that we have established is to repent means stop doing something and start doing something else, if it's about doing, then how does one really know if they've achieved repentance? You know, in other words, if it means to stop sinning and you still have a sin here and there, wrong thought, wrong action, whatever it may be, then I guess that maybe means you didn't repent? Or does it just mean a sin reduction? You enlighten me, please.
Well, here's one for you, speaking of Bible versions. And I'm not for or against the Amplified Bible. I mean, sometimes it brings out some really good things. The Amplified Bible kind of adds their own thoughts of what a verse or a word might mean. And it says, for that same verse, Matthew 3:2, repent, and then in brackets, change your inner self, your old way of thinking. Regret past sins. Live your life in a way that proves repentance. Seek God's purpose for your life, end bracket, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, just along the lines of what you're saying there, how do you know when, if your salvation is based upon this? Because that's what a lot of people will say. And also, I do not mean to put people like Billy Graham down, because he led a lot of people, obviously, to the Lord over the years. But a part of his message was turn from your sins. I remember this. Turn from your sins and believe the gospel. His understanding, from what I listened to over the years, was turn from your sins and believe the gospel, and then you'll be saved. And again, not to put him down, but just to say that that is a common way of thinking, that repentance means to change your life, to turn from your sins. But the question, so what, like you say, what we talked about was the word really means to change your thinking. Change your thinking, stop believing that your works have anything to do with salvation, and believe the gospel. Believe the good news of salvation by grace through faith apart from your works, apart from changing your behavior. But if you do have this idea that repentance means to turn from your sins, to change your behavior, how do you know when you've repented enough? What if you think of any given sin or ungodly act in your life or in anybody's life? I mean, just, I don't have to be specific, and you can, whoever's listening, you can think of whatever's in your mind, whatever crosses your mind when you think of a sin that people commit. Let's say that, okay, you turn from that sin, you stop doing it, and you tell God, I promise I'm never going to do that again, or you confess that sin, or whatever, what people do, and then later that day, you do the same thing, or maybe a year goes by, and then all of a sudden, you do that same thing again, or whatever. I'm just being general, I'm not being specific about anything, but so then, when you've done that thing again, you repent again. So was that first repentance real? And then now you do it again. Now is, in your mind, you might be thinking, is this repentance real? Because I'm probably going to do this again. I don't want to do it again, but I'm probably going to do it again. And so it leads to, in your mind, it leads to the mindset of, I don't know if I'm right with God. I just don't know. You can never be sure, because if repentance means to turn from your sins and never do it again, you know, or if by repentance you're telling God you're never going to do it again, you've stopped doing this sin or whatever, then you can never do it again. And if you do it again, oh man, then how can you be sure? So, I mean, how do you know when you've repented enough? The good news is that you don't have to base your life upon that at all, because the repentance that Jesus was talking about, and John the Baptist, was a repentance, a change of your mind. Stop thinking that it's up to you to change your behavior, and instead believe the good news. Believe the gospel that Christ has done all the work that's necessary. Through him is the redemption that we needed. Through him is the forgiveness of sins. Through him comes salvation. And we simply believe it, and we've received everything that he gave us, and we never have to worry about what our behavior is.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, you'll never get to the place where you'll feel like you've repented. Now, you may have made some improvements in your life, and that's great, but you'll still have your struggles. maybe fewer as time goes on. I think sometimes even age can have something to do with that. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it just has to do with understanding that you are already the righteousness of God, whereas religion is always acting like you're broken and you need to be fixed, and understanding you're the righteousness of God and living from that instead of trying to just fix yourself. Jesus did the fixing. He's the fixer. And so we get to a place, though, sometimes where, like what you were talking about, Joel, if you're constantly in this place of repentance, thinking that I need to stop doing bad stuff and start doing good stuff, that's going to be beneficial. Again, don't want to beat that dead horse, but that's not the gospel. That's not true repentance. Having a change of mind that God already has made you his righteousness, that you're a partaker of the divine nature, one who is totally forgiven. You can begin living from that. Understanding your identity as to who you already are in him will help you to overcome instead of this temptation that comes along. And if you have the mentality that, okay, I'm going to do this one more time, and then I'll just ask God to forgive me again. See, that confession we were talking about in recent weeks, the confessing of sins to be forgiven, it's a myth and a fable. I mean, it leads to the flesh. It doesn't lead you away from it to think that, well, I've got to get out of jail free card with this confession thing. Instead of just beginning to live from who you are, it's such a big difference. Otherwise it's a constant struggle. But I think the point we're trying to make here is this mentality about repenting from what you do, that doesn't lead you to a place that brings you assurance, because you'll never be at a place of perfection through doing. Our perfection comes from Christ and the law, you know, following commandments and that sort of thing. It could not bring the perfection that was needed. And so this is good news. So you always have these judgmental self-righteous types. They say they're not self-righteous, but they'll hammer on you repentance, and they'll try and mix some sort of old covenant context into it, you know, a mixture of grace and works, and they'll tell you that you're not necessarily saved and unless you're following a certain path, but nobody can tell you what that path is. And so we're just here to encourage you in this a little bit so that you're not, you know, bogged down, nailed to your own cross day in and day right. out, week to week. And you can just rest in what Jesus has already done for you. We're placed in him. And our right standing with him has nothing to do with us. It's everything to do with him.
Yeah. And, you know, just some of our listeners are familiar with Aaron Budgen and Living God Ministries. I like a lot of what he has to say, and he's been doing a very long and in-depth series on the book of Ephesians. And just, I was listening the other day, and one thing he said is, and I'll put it in my own words, but you can, whether you're living according to the indulgence of the flesh or the restraint of the flesh. So in other words, you can be living by, you know, just going out and sinning and, you know, the indulgence of the flesh or the restraint of the flesh. I'm trying not to sin. I'm trying to restrain myself from doing all these things. Either way, living by the indulgence of the flesh or by the restraint of the flesh, you're still living by the flesh. You're still living according to the flesh. And so true repentance, now getting back to what we've been talking about, changing your thinking and believing the gospel. So remember who God has made you to be and live from who you are. Not live according to trying to just restrain the flesh all the time, but live from who God has made you to be. And that's where repentance, your change of thinking, will really help you, because you can begin to understand who you are, your new identity in Christ, and you can understand that some of these things, that's not who you are. And you can look unto Jesus again, the author and perfecter of faith, and you can look to him and the Holy Spirit as your guide in life. And instead of trying all the time, constantly, to be avoiding evil and doing good. Again, it's good to avoid evil. It's good to do good. But not living from that place, rather living from knowing the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, who is within you.
Final thought here, Joel. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. The writer here said some things in chapter 5 leading up to this, but to get to the point here, He says this, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and the doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment." So let's move on. Let's move on from this idea of repenting from dead works and move on into the grace of Christ, where we can become teachers instead of people needing to be taught, and move on into a more perfect grace.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.